Earlier this week, President Trump declared the U.S. would pull out of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which is better known as the Iran nuclear deal. This follows the administration's decisions to leave the Paris Climate Agreement and the Trans-Pacific Partnership and enter into NAFTA renegotiations. How does this affect how the U.S. is seen by allies and adversaries alike? With me to talk about that via Skype is Jacob Shapiro, Director of Analysis for Geopolitical Futures. Jacob, how do you think the U.S. is being viewed around the world with its decisions to pull out of agreements or call for the modifications of other agreements?
Well, you know, I think that the United States has had difficulty articulating its strategy in the world really since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. So I think that, you know, certainly the Trump administration has its own spastic responses. But if you look back at the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, you find similar inconsistencies. We can talk about Barack Obama saying that the United States was going to strike Syria if it used chemical weapons. It used chemical weapons, and then the United States did nothing. You have, you know, the United States thought that it was going to be able to build some kind of liberal democracy in the heart of the Middle East. It turned out that by toppling Saddam Hussein, you enabled ISIS to come to fore, and then the U.S. stayed there for a while and then withdrew and then got back involved. The problem for the U.S. is that it really is a global power, and it is not used to defining its interests. Very narrowly. It's not used to being the one calling the shots. So the Trump administration is really a continuation of this theme, and it just so happens that it does it in a particularly loud way and on Twitter, but I don't see it as a major break from the past.
Is this a fault of how the U.S. has handled things, or is this just the reality that there are different interests in different parts of the world and they may have to change from time to time?
The U.S. is one of those countries that has the luxury of having a number of different interests. If you're a smaller country like, say, Slovenia or Uzbekistan, you don't have the luxury of having opinions about things like, well, what does it mean that Saddam Hussein is ruling in Iraq? Or what is the U.S. take on Russian activity in Ukraine? The difficulty for the United States is that it has so many different problems around the world that threaten its interests, and it really has to define them more narrowly, because if you try to do everything for everyone, you get what has happened in Afghanistan. You get what has happened in Iraq. You get what has happened in the Middle East today. It's why, even though the United States has wanted to get out of the Muslim world for something like, what, 18 years now we are since September 11th, the United States is still there. So, you know, this is just part of any time you are a power of imperial scope, you're going to have these small brush fires all over the place. And each one of them is going to feel like the end or like the dramatic collapse of American power. But, you know, I think back just last week, we had the anniversary of the Kent State shooting. You know, the late 60s and early 1970s, everybody thought the U.S. was going away. Everybody thought the U.S. was on the downswing and it couldn't have been more polarized. And within 20 years, the United States emerged as a global superpower and the Soviet Union collapsed. So there are problems for the United States, but I try not to blow them out of proportion.
So does it just seem like things are more dramatic because, as you said, the president is on Twitter? He tends to make bold statements. In some cases, it feels like there hasn't been a vision that people can either agree or disagree with. It seems like from step to step, things change. But based on what you're saying, is that, does it ultimately matter? Because if an administration has a policy they've defined and then they contradict it, where are we looking for there?
Well, it depends what we mean by matter. Does it mean that the United States is going to stop being the dominant power in the world? No. Does pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal have certain geopolitical consequences, especially for Middle Eastern countries, especially for Iran itself, especially for U.S. allies? Yes. So for me, the broad model is not going to be challenged by any of these particular things. I would say the last thing is just that, you know, the media also plays a role in this. We are privy to everything in real time. We know everything that is happening exactly when it happens. So it creates this cycle where we first, there is this 24-hour cycle of news. And then when things aren't happening, we're desperate to know what the next thing is that is happening. So we inflate a bunch of these different things. But, you know, all administrations go back and forth. And I would say that the Trump administration, like any administration, has different factions within it that have different views of the world. And you're seeing that play out in different decisions.
So is this going to be on the rest of the world to understand that the U.S. is still a great superpower and there will be different aspects? As you mentioned, there are so many interests the U.S. has in the world that many other nations don't have. How should or how can the rest of the world adjust to this on a case-to-case basis? And because we are the U.S., because we're powerful, will they be willing to do that?
Well, I think they will be. Let's take the TPP, for example. The U.S. is what makes the TPP click. If you don't have the U.S., this massive consumer of goods at the center of the TPP doesn't really work. You can talk about with the Iran nuclear deal, Germany didn't want the U.S. to pull out. France didn't want the U.S. to pull out. That's because Germany and France buy oil from Iran cheaply, and they don't want to go back to importing Russian oil and Russian energy supplies and being dependent on them. So they have interests one way, and the United States has interests the other way, and there it is. I would say that both for Americans and for foreign countries, you have to try and identify what the real interests are. Interests are dressed up in politics and ideology all the time, and they are used as political talking points. But generally speaking, if you can identify what a country's interest is, and this is true of the United States or any other country, you can basically figure out how it's going to behave. You can't figure out what ideology that's going to be cloaked in, how that's going to be presented necessarily. But I have always said, when I talk about these things, is that if you can identify the hardcore interest, the rest will figure itself out.
Jacob Shapiro is Director of Analysis for Geopolitical Futures.